Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, the 1st of August, 2022. And I find it hard to believe that it is August already, the first day of August. This year has went fast. The summer has went fast. I am so glad that this past week went by as slow as it did. I am very glad about that because the couple weeks going into invasion and then invasion were going by not only fast, I would argue too fast even. Thankfully, this last week went by nice and slow, because I was not ready for July to be done with. Because once you hit August, you kind of know that the end of summer is near. and some of them might wonder, Do I want it? Am I ready for it to end? No. But like they say, that thing of how so often, obviously it's not that way with everything, but it can be that way with this. When there's a negative, sometimes there's a positive. The positive of this is that it means we're getting close to football season. So, like, for example, the 26th is Midland High's first home game, and I sure plan to be there hoping for a Midland win and hoping to see the band do some good stuff. And so I want to thank you for tuning in tonight. I really do. And I'm sorry for the late start. A couple hours ago, I had been totally disrupted by a certain appointment text that I would absolutely rather not talk about or discuss. And I honestly felt kind of forced into it. But that's all I'm going to say about it. And so, as I said, sorry about the late start. But tomorrow, what we do here in Michigan tomorrow, vote. I'm going to say something that my pastor said. Vote your interest group, your first interest group. Now, of course, I would say vote Christian. And I am grateful that we had a candidate for Michigan governor that Trump has finally endorsed. Because Michigan hasn't endorsed too many people in Michigan in the past for any of the positions. And I'm so grateful that we now have someone running for governor that Trump has endorsed, because I was very concerned about Michigan before that. as I was last time, because I was like, in my mind I was thinking, when can we get some good, solid Michigan Republicans like what they have in like that state to the south? Of course, other than the governor there, which he's done some better things, but I wish he didn't handle COVID the way he did. And I honestly hope he apologized for locking down. I really hope he did. And so, anyhow, so tomorrow, make sure you know where to go vote and vote your interest group tomorrow. Please. That's assuming you live in Michigan. Of course, in the other states, some of you have voted already. Others of you might still vote. But it's our responsibility as Christians to vote, and Christians. I mean, as Christians and as Americans to vote. And I would say it's very important to vote Christian, and it's also very important to vote Constitution. And you have to ask yourself, what do you want America to become? Do you want America to be great, free, prosperous, a land where anyone who wants to succeed can? Or do you want an America that is like, Venezuela, one that is like China, one that is very communist? I don't want an America like that. Right now, that's kind of the way we're heading right now. As of right now, this minute. The Americans can change that by voting. And I pray that we do that, that we vote not only in the primaries, but that we as the true Americans would go out and vote also on November 8th like none other. And if you're wondering, in person or mail-in, do what you feel is most secure. But we can't be having fraud continue, like what happened in Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Arizona. I will tell you something that I told a couple people before, but I haven't told too many. I was more concerned last time about what happened in Georgia than I was about what happened in Michigan. Because in my mind, what happened in Georgia last time never should have happened. Ever. I'm not just saying that because it's a southern state. I believe the ballots were tampered with. That's why we have the Senate that we do right now. Because of Georgia. I think that what was done in Georgia was also done in Arizona. My hope is that this can be fixed and that Georgia can go back to how it was supposed to be. Because Georgia and Metro Atlanta, one of my favorite places in the entire country. There, Houston, Dallas, Tampa. Needless to say, Michigan, go vote tomorrow, please. I will be voting tomorrow. And obviously, I'm not going to tell you exactly who I'm voting for, but I am going to vote and have my voice heard. My voice heard, I should say, not voice. I don't know why I said voice, but I didn't mean voice. I'm not voice. All right. Real quick. I want to remind you of a couple things. Quick things, actually. First of all, I want to remind you about the PayPal. You can go online to PayPal to sow a seed into the Miracle Man program. As you sow your seed, helps keep going. And I pray over your seed. When you go to paypal.com in the search bar, you type in Rivers Shukla. Again, that is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. And the last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Again, so, and keep in mind two things. There is a space between Rivers and Shukla. The other thing I want you to keep in mind is that the other thing I would like you to keep in mind is that the first R in Rivers and the S in Shukla, both of those are capitalized. So make a note of that, please. The verse I want to sow in your life tonight is where it says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Amen and amen and amen. And I thank the Lord for that. The other thing I want to remind you about really quick is the book Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life and how great God has been, all the miracles God's done. And let me tell you, I thank God for what he's done and for what he's doing and for what he's going to do, the way he is going to use me. And I know he's the miracle working man, God. That's why the show is called The Miracle Man. Because I have seen God work firsthand in my life. And it's not something, and it's not like one of those things I wish I could say. I've seen him work in my life. And guess what? He's not done with me. I know he's not done with me. And so I put my trust in him all the time. And so I just thank God. And you can go online to riversofmiracles.com to find out information about the book Rivers of Miracles. and how it can be a blessing into your life. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And so I'm going to sing a couple songs, and then I'm going to get into the word of the Lord tonight. I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty grave. But you came along and put me back together. Every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. I know it's true. I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, failures and faults. Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. As the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You turn red, you guard it. You give beauty from ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who came. You turn mourning to dancing. You turn give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who came. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You turn graves into gardens. You turn foes into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn foes into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. You bring light. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing great. Are you Lord? All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing great. Are you Lord? All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing great. Are you It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every addiction, I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every circumstance. To every I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety to every stronghold and addiction. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Jesus in the mountains. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus in the mountain, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Yeah, yeah. Shout Jesus in the dark, the mountain. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are with us, Lord God. Thank you, Master, for what you're doing in us, what you're doing through us. I thank you, Master, for what you've already started, what you've already done, what you're doing right now, what you're going to do. Thank you, Master, for that. Thank you that you will continue moving on our behalf. Thank you, Master, for that, for everything that you're doing. Thank you. Thank you. I make my confession over this program tonight. Thank you for every listener who has tuned in tonight, wherever they may be tuning in from. Thank you that they would receive of you tonight what it is that you want them to receive as we study your scriptures tonight, your holy scriptures. Thank you that these people want to learn of your ways. And I thank you for that and for what you're doing right now. For all these people. And thank you that you are the great I am. And now I make my confession over this program. I say that sponsors and partners come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program, that finances come into this program. Most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen and amen. Turn with me, please, if you would, to the book of Exodus, chapter 16. Amen. Exodus 16. And we'll just see what all the Lord has for us tonight. Exodus 16. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. And I want to encourage you, be a part. Don't just sit there and watch. Whatever I do there, here, you do where you are. Amen. So, Exodus 16, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. The whole Israelite community set out from Elam and came to the desert of Zin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food that we wanted. You have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and will see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, or on Friday, we could say, they ought to prepare what they bring in. And that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening, and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we?" "Well, not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, that he has heard your grumbling." Whenever Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight, you will eat meat. In the morning, you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord, your God." That evening, quail came and covered the camp. In the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent." The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some gathered little. when they measured it by the omer, he who gathered much did not have too much. He who gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered as much as he needed. Then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning. But it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as he needed. When the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person. And the leaders of the community came and reported it to Moses, and he said to them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake. Boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning. So they saved it until morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. Eat it today, Moses said, because today is the Sabbath of the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it. On the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it. But they didn't find any. The Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands? And my instructions. Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where he is on the seventh day. No one is to go out. So the people rested on the seventh day. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made of honey. Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come so they can see the bread that I gave you to eat in the desert when I brought you out of Egypt. Moses said to Aaron, take a jar, put an omer of manna in it, place it before the Lord to be kept for the generations to come. The Lord commanded Moses, Aaron, put the manna in front of the testimony. It might be kept. The Israelites ate manna 40 years until they came to a land that was settled. They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. In parentheses, an omer is one-tenth of an ephah. 17. The whole Israelite community sent out from the desert of Zin, traveling from place to place, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephaim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled to Moses and said, give us water to drink! Moses replied, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test? But the people were thirsty for water there. when they grumbled against Moses, they said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders from Israel and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it for the people to drink." Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Pasa and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephaim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men. Go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in your hands." Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone, put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hand up, one on one side, one on the other. Saul's hands remained steady till sunset. Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. The Lord said to Moses, "Write on a scroll as someone to be remembered. And make sure that Joshua hears it. Because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar, called it "The Lord is my banner." And he said, "Four hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. So what you see there is Israelites start grumbling again, this time because there was no food. Then God sends down manna from heaven in the mornings. They're to go gather it. Tasted like, you know, wafers made of honey. I used to hope when I was real little and first heard about it, I used to hope it tasted like birthday cake or like a nice little cinnamon roll or a cookie. You know, something with, no, not some Israeli or, you know, Mediterranean thing that might be, you know, very, very low sugar or something. No. I'm talking nice, big cookies or cinnamon rolls that are made in the USA. Because we like everything better, right, Brittany? Everything bigger and better. Always. Because we need because we need everything bigger and better. Yeah, that's why the 20-ounce Coca-Cola bottle was invented in 1994, folks. That's why. Why the standard size is not 24 ounces or 26 ounces yet, I don't understand. I feel like it should be, don't you? because over time it kept going up. Unfortunately, science for public interest, unfortunately, had other goals. Unfortunately. But enough of that. But see, God created the manna in the desert. God created the manna. The people were to eat it. I mean, were to gather it. They were given specific instructions how to deal with it. They were specifically told, don't save it till the next day. Don't save it until the next day. They were told, unless it's the sixth day, and it's going to be the seventh, the Sabbath. Because on day six, you would have gathered twice as much. But unless it's going into the seventh day, if you leave it, it won't be good. Because some of the people would leave it. They would leave, because you didn't necessarily tell them why they couldn't leave it. But they, maybe he did tell them, but they just wouldn't listen. And it would be moldy, and it would have maggots in it, and it would smell terrible. Kind of like how you get expired, you know, if you keep stuff in your fridge or in your cupboards past their use-by dates. Then things can happen, and it can be not good. So they eat manna for 40 years until they get to Canaan. Then they come to a certain place, but there's no water. Then he's told to strike a rock. He strikes a rock, water comes out. The people love water. People were grumbling at Moses to the point where he feared for his life because the people were grumbling. And then God told him, you know what? He said, hey, Moses, you know what? When you think the people are grumbling against you, they're actually grumbling against me. They're actually begging me, like they're not happy with me. But when God says to do something, you have to obey him. You have to follow the directions that he gives you. Puts a call on your life to go do something, you should want to do it. And not be like, well, why, God? I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. Some of you might think that. Some of you might even say it. But in the end, you have to obey the Lord and do what he tells you to do. Because disobedience, part of what sin is, disobedience to God. When he said, do not do these certain things, do these instead. And you're not doing them, and you're not being obedient, guess what? Then you're in sin. And God doesn't want us in sin because sin will keep you longer than you wanted to stay. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you wanted to stay. And it will cost you more than we ever thought you would pay. By the way, folks, it's not just talking about monetarily. Even though, yes, it does have a monetary cost. But there's much more to it than just, okay, how many dollars did it cost me? How much time, you know, did it? No. Ultimately, we have to do it God's way and not just our own way or the way that we think is going to benefit us the most. Because what we think is going to benefit us the most isn't necessarily best thing for us. And Moses was like the pastor of those people. And because he was the leader of the children of Israel. And all of them but that manna, you see, was another miracle of the Lord. Because God provided for them just enough. No one had too much manna. No one had not enough manna to eat. Everyone gathered just enough that they would need. Some gathered more, some gathered less, but they still each had enough. Even the ones that said supersize me didn't have too much. By supersize me, I mean, you know, supersize the manna. Man, I hope that thing came with frosting. After all it said frost on the ground. Something tells me it didn't, though. Because I really did think it was something that was nice and sugary, the manna. But I bet instead it tasted just a little bit like honey, not like lots of honey, like a honey bun. Don't you like you a nice, good honey bun, Brittany, or no?
Sometimes. Depends on the
brand. Feel like sometimes at Walmart, at the sweet aisle by the sweets that are right by the checkout, I feel like sometimes they're some of the biggest things up there.
Yeah.
A lot of times if I'm up there and I want one, I take that one on purpose whenever that is every once in a while because it's the biggest one. That way you don't. That way you don't feel cheated. And And so, but anyhow, you know, we obey God and we follow His commands. And we might not always like, just like this thing of, you know, they would eat the whole lamb, not just the parts that they liked. They'd eat the whole lamb. Because some people obviously would be like, well, I like this part. Well, I like this part. I like this part. I do not like this part. You're still supposed to eat the whole thing, not just what you liked, and then avoid what you didn't like. And so, amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. I pray that we would realize that you are the provider for us, that everything we need, that you provide for us. Thank you that you are the God of more than enough. You're not the God of just enough. You're not the God of too little. You're the God of just of more than enough. Thank you, Lord God, that we would always put our trust in you. And that we would do your will. And I thank you that we would be doers of this word also. In Jesus' name, amen. Until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.